may tell yourself, this is not my beautiful house. You may tell yourself, this is not my beautiful wife. And you may tell yourself, this is not my beautiful podcast. But wait, it is. It is my beautiful podcast. Hello, everyone, to this same as it ever was electronic engineering podcast hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. Guess what, everybody? It is my birthday. Yes, my birthday, August 9th. It's true. And on this day, in addition to yours truly, my celebrity doppelganger, Gillian Anderson, was also born. So that's kind of weird, right? It's just me. Okay. So anyway, since it's my birthday, we're talking about 5G. Because I say so, with one of my favorite speakers in quite some time, Wade Smith from ANSYS. We're talking about the power of multi-physics analysis, how we're going to conquer that sub-millisecond latency that edge computing requires, and how thermal effects can affect beam steering. Ain't no party like a 5G party, y'all. Let's get started. Thank you so much for joining me, Wade.
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, so we're here to talk about 5G, signal integrity, edge computing, and a whole lot of data processing. But before we get into all of that, Wade, what do you see are the biggest factors driving our need for 5G?
Pretty much it's all data. That's it. You know, so when I think about 5G, I think about really what are the limitations that we have now with 4G and 4G LTE. So let's step back for a minute and talk about applications that we can have with 5G systems. I like to use one small example. Let's think about virtual reality, augmented reality. Do you think it would be possible today that if a doctor was in Hawaii, can operate on a patient in Arkansas? Because the speeds aren't fast enough in the communication network system, and the data can't get there, you know, quick enough. So if this doctor could put on a virtual reality helmet and hold gloves and then operate on someone almost live, that takes an immense amount of data. And that's really why we're bumping to the next level of these telecom systems, is to be able to handle that data. When you think about the different networks, you know, that we've had in the past, like 1G was only voice, you know, 2G, maybe a voice and text, and so forth. 4G, you have media that comes in. Now we all stare at our phones and don't look around us, you know, with 4G. But a lot of those were all based on, you know, you just have your little mobile device, you know, in a big sense, and then maybe some, you know, carrying some data, some, you know, internet data to your car or whatnot. What 5G brings in is everything else. And that's what amazes me. So you're carrying data from Internet of Things, from sensors in an entire factory that are constantly sensing the motion and what's going on with the machines in the factory to make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be. And this is feeding all into a network that can be piped out to another location to monitor it. Or you think about something like predictive maintenance in oil drilling company that are trying to have sensors in that they can constantly monitor data to predict when that's going to fail so they can send somebody out there to take care of it, you know, initially. Or what if we have autonomous vehicles? Ah, you guys are probably familiar. You've heard about that, right? I mean, I know most of us that are a little bit older are paranoid to take our hand off the wheel. But think about if you have an autonomous vehicle, what is it going to take to mimic the attention that we have to pay when we have to drive? So automotive radar, LIDAR, sonar applications. Not only that, but you have Bluetooth in the system. You have communications coming from Wi-Fi coming down. You have also car-to-car communication, vehicle-to-vehicle, vehicle-to-environment, sensors all inside of a smart city talking to this car to make sure that you don't roll through an intersection and run over grandma. She's walking across the intersection. Right. So this is constantly tons and tons you're getting hit by data. So 4G just doesn't have the pipes that can handle all this data. You clog them, you know, with 4G. So that's where we have to go to 5G. 5G is going to allow 10x, sometimes even more, amount of data traffic through these systems. It's absolutely fascinating to know what it's going to bring. And I'm personally just awestruck and looking forward to seeing what's coming.
A talk about 5G would not could be complete without talking about edge computing. So how are we going to handle all of this data coming in from the edge and 5G helping it along the way.
When you think about edge computing, essentially what it's doing is basically bringing the cluster, the cloud, close nearby. It's bringing the data centers closer to you. And to give you an idea of really where edge computing steps in is, if you have emergency vehicles that are autonomous, they have to have instantaneous response times. So they're collecting all this data from the smart city environment. They're trying to process it. They're also shuffling data out. But you can't have a car with maybe the sensor data going out trying to hit a base station tower on a cell phone or a cell phone base station, going down through the cables, being processed and then shipped out to a cluster or a data center somewhere, fiddling around in the data center going, okay, he wants this data, come all the way back down back to the tower and then shoot back out of the car. By then you ran over grandma. You know, you can't have that delay. So that's where things like edge computing's coming in, because what it's doing is now you're processing right there at the tower. Right. Or what if you're, maybe you're processing, because 5G is going to have microcells in addition to the towers, you're processing right at the microcell. What's even cooler about edge computing is it's really taking the cluster, you know, the data center, and dividing it up amongst devices. So one even talk is your edge computer might be your cell phone. You could have processing right inside your cell phone that does an instantaneous data retrieval and ships it back to you. So it's basically, you know, a divide and conquer approach. And that's one of the ways that you're going to reach what we call the latency times that 5G requires. When you talk about sub-millisecond latency, that's just unfathomable with today's system, where you're talking to a cell phone tower, bouncing back, going to retrieve stuff off of a cloud data center and come back. You can't hit these sub-millisecond latencies. And that's where the edge compute has to come in and bring the information closer to you.
All right, let's bring it back to ANSYS. Now, you guys have got some simulation solutions in this space, right, that'll help us with that big data?
Oh, yes, we do. A lot. What's kind of cool about ANSYS is many times when you come to DAC, like we're at right now, people see only the chip side of ANSYS. So they might, you know, see how we work with semiconductors and analyze semiconductors. And really, that's just a small fraction of what ANSYS can do. When we talk about ANSYS, one thing I like to think about is, I use an analogy of soda fountain machine. Okay, so inside, you know, one of those, you just come up and you get your cup from the counter that you bought, go get ice, and, you know, so, all right. So if you take a soda fountain machine, you have chips inside of it that are determining, especially if you have one of those touchscreen soda fountain machines, you have chips inside of it that are determining how to mix everything. You have printed circuit boards that are involved in this, and you have a touch panel, and you have the lever, you know, that you press your cup against to get the ice. This whole thing can be analyzed by ANSYS. And what I mean is, we have mechanical software that could analyze the stress on the lever as you press your cup up against it. We have computational fluid dynamics software that can analyze how the soda runs through the spigot into your cup, how the ice is dispensed. We have low frequency electromagnetic software that can analyze the power input and the power transformers that power this entire soda. We have software that can analyze basically the touch panel, you know, and determine kind of if you press your finger up, what the voltage differences are going to be on that, and hence grab where your finger is going to be and think about that. We have software that can analyze the antennas, and if it's a Bluetooth machine, maybe you could just program it with your phone and walk over there and catch it. Maybe this thing's attached to a Wi-Fi to download updates, you know, periodically. Or maybe the boards get hot or something gets hot since it's dispensing this stuff. We can analyze that. So ANSYS can pretty much handle all the physics, you know, the mechanical, the fluids, the electromagnetics, the entire system. So we're a lot bigger than just the die. So now when we step back to 5G and we start applying this in, I like to use one little, you know, thing to think about. It's a small section. We can analyze the die that does the processing of this data, maybe in the data center, you know, the CPUs, the big CPUs that process this, and also all the way down to the little RFICs on the front end of your cell phone that basically takes the signal from the data, blobs it into an RF signal, ships it out through your antenna. or in the base station, these chips that do this. But we can also do the signal integrity across the entire boards, the power integrity, link the chips in right into the board and power, how the signal's going to flow through these, all the way through the mechanical connectors that connect board to board and simulate this, all the way out through the antenna. From the antenna, we can design the actual antenna mounted on the pole, radiate out, you know, from there, and then tell how it detects at the receiver antenna. And how, what happens if it's 5G at 28 gigahertz wavelength, millimeter? What happens if it's a humid day? Will that change how far the signal can go? We can analyze that. But here's the big interesting thing. If we step back from all this, the electrical analysis that I just mentioned, what happens if I put that millimeter wave antenna array that we designed inside of a radome that's hermetically sealed or weather sealed, put it on the pole, and it's in Dallas, Texas in the summer, with sun pounding it, and outside it's 100 degrees outside. Inside the radome, this thing's probably shooting up to 120, you know, just throwing a number out there, an estimate. Then it's getting 40 watts power pounded into this, so it's heating up even more. You know, how do we cool this thing off? How are we enabling? How are we able to analyze the thermal effects of how this will change our channel distance of how far we can transmit? Now, a second thing that people don't a lot of times think about is that radome with the antenna in it has to be mounted to the pole, the tower that it's on. Well, what type of bolts and brackets do we use to mount it on there? You know, how strong do they have to be to hold that up? What happens if the wind is blowing? Because Oklahoma gives us a nice little windy day, you know, in the form of these little swirly things that roll down from Oklahoma. So when you have a 5G array and you're doing beam steering, because it's an array and that's how millimeter wave's going to work, we're going to, you know, it's almost like a laser pointer, you know, and track people. You know, when we look at that type of environment, what happens to the beam? How do we control the beam when the antenna radome starts moving because the wind's blowing it? That's a computational fluid dynamics problem. We have, ANSYS can do the fluid dynamics. ANSYS can analyze the bolt brackets holding this thing on and making sure that they're strong enough to handle the wind that's blowing this thing. ANSYS can analyze the sun beating down on this radome and the heat from the electrical input power that's going to this antenna and analyze the entire thermal effects and how we design a radome package that can withstand these thermal effects and keep the antenna at a certain level to where it can still do its job. ANSYS can analyze the entire array antenna and the radiation pattern coming out of the array antenna and tell you if it's going to be degraded by all of these other effects. You know, like I mentioned, ANSYS is a lot more than just a chip company. You know, we're a true multi-physics company. We really can go from chip to entire city.
All right, Wade, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, since you haven't been on my show before, I'm going to ask you my standard question. So here we go. If you had one meal left on planet Earth, that's it. You're going to eat one more thing for the rest of your life. What would it be?
Oh, you're killing me. Well, let's just say if it's one more meal, and I'm going to answer because, you know, I'm coming from Texas, that barbecue smoker better be big. Because I want a big old rack of ribs, you know, out of this thing. I think in Texas toast. That would probably take it from there. Because why not? I don't need to lose weight after that. You know? Let's just pile it on.
Excellent. And now I'm super hungry. Okay. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Wade.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Speaking of 5G. Now, we all know that the transition to 5G is going to be challenging for just about every element of our system designs. While we're worried about high data rates, signal integrity, RF challenges, it's easy to forget that the impacts of 5G extend all the way to things like passives as well. In a recent episode of Chalk Talk called Transitioning to 5G, I sit down with Nick Steven of Kemet, and we chat all about how we can all keep up with those latest 5G demanded system design challenges. Yes, including those passives. And you can check out this episode of Chalk Talk by heading on over to the Chalk Talk section of EE Journal. Can't miss it. It's right across the top. You can click the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, or just head on over to YouTube. Keyword, EE Journal. All right, so guys, I've been throwing around some ideas for a new off-the-cuff question. I mean, the last meal on planet Earth thing has been great, but we're going on about 10 years of that question. So that actually got me thinking. I never actually answer these questions. I just ask them. So in honor of my birthday, oh, I have mentioned that already? Okay. How about a little news you may have missed? Off the cuff, just because it's my birthday, Amelia Dalton edition. So, last meal on planet Earth. Well, for me, that would have to be sushi. I mean, Indian cuisine is a hard second place. But if it's going to be one meal and that's it, there better be a spider roll on that plate. I'm just saying. Okay, so a hobby outside of work? Well, I am on level 4,506 on Candy Crush. Yes, really. But I do like to travel a lot. Fortunately, I get to travel for our Chalk Talk webcasts. If you'd like to book one, let me know. But I also really like experiencing other cultures and customs. And, well, I do love me some karaoke. If I had to pick another career, I would probably be a forensic scientist. Or maybe own a karaoke bar. Or maybe I'd own a forensic-themed karaoke bar. Yes, midlife crisis career, here I come. That's a great idea. And last but not least, my go-to movie theater snack, Junior Mints. All right, so do me a favor. Next time you have a Junior Mint, no need to buy the whole box if you don't like them. Squish it between your two fingers really close to your ear. Trust me, it's great. So, my friends, if there is anything you'd like to ask me, your EE Journal podcast and host, shoot me a line via email or on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is AmeliaD1978. And you can also post a comment below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on EEJournal.com. Oh yes, and speaking of news you may have missed, coming this fall, EE Journal is going to be launching an entire episode of your favorite fish fry bit. Yes, so you can have an entire 10 minutes of just me talking about this week's news you may have missed. And wait, whose idea was that? Oh, it was mine. Okay, cool. Stay tuned for more information. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should! You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And yes, my personal Twitter account is AmeliaD1978. And if LinkedIn is more your thing, you can also follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, Keyword EE Journal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by yours truly. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. And by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can check out the Fish Fry archive or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, folks, I love that stuff. Shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com. I promise I will respond. Or you can post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of August 9th, 2019, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.